Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
It's a matter of time, and it's a matter of gay people, people in same-sex relationships, coming out and telling their stories and sharing that they're a part of a community and are committed to one another and simply want the dignity and respect and protections that come along with marriage.
That's Mark Solomon, Marriage Director of Equality California, stating that as time goes on, opposition to same-sex marriage will simply go by the wayside. You may have seen the column in your local paper, Who Has the Right to Judge, by Leonard Pitts Jr. He says, a freedom that can be taken at a whim is not freedom at all. He writes in favor of same-sex marriage and in favor of Judge Von Walker's decision to overturn the will of the California electorate and declare it unconstitutional vis-a-vis same-sex marriage. Joining us to talk about both Leonard Pitts' column and arguments that are made in favor of same-sex marriage, Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamined.org, author of the books Correct, Not Politically Correct, and Legislating Morality. He's also written a recent column for townhall.com titled Top 10 Gay Marriage False Facts. Frank, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Great to be with you.
Leonard Pitts says that what's happening here, or what those who are trying to oppose same-sex marriage are trying to do, is simply bar the way when others, namely same-sex couples, are seeking freedom. How do you respond?
Well, first of all, let's just say that people who want to live together and call it marriage, why end it gay couples? Why not have bisexual couples? Why not have incestuous couples? Why not have polygamous couples? In other words, the argument that's used by the gay rights movement is that we are a special class of people and we're being denied equal rights. Well, they're not being denied equal rights. Everybody has the same right to marry in the United States of America. In fact, every person in America already has equal marriage rights because we're all playing by the same rules. We all have the same right to marry any non-related adult of the opposite sex. Those rules don't deny anyone equal protection of the laws, because the qualifications, Todd, to enter a marriage apply equally to everyone. Every adult person has the same right to marry. What the homosexuals are trying to say is they're trying to say, well, we're a special class of people. And I went through Judge Walker's ruling point by point. He's the judge out there in California that said Prop 8 was unconstitutional. And one of the facts that he put forth is this. He said, sexual orientation is fundamental to a person's identity and is a distinguishing characteristic that defines gays and lesbians as a discrete group. I think that's a false fact. And the reason I think that's a false fact is because if you take that logic out, then anybody with any other sexual orientation could say that they need a special marriage relationship to authenticate their desires. In other words, people who want to have sex with children, people who want to have sex with their parents, people who want to have sex with multiple partners, they can all use that same argument. This is our sexual orientation, and therefore we need a special marriage relationship condoned by the government in order for us to have equal rights. I think that's nonsense.
Both Judge Walker, and it's echoed in Leonard Pitts Jr.'s column, said that this is also a case of one group very pridefully claiming that they have a God-given right to set the terms and timetable by which another group will be free. What do you say?
See, I deny the fact that we're in groups. All we are men and women, Todd. That's all we are. We're men and women, and we come together as a group of people. We came together in our Constitution to decide what the rules will be by how we govern one another. And then each state got together and said, here's what we're going to do with marriage. And marriage has always been between a man and a woman. If we want to say that marriage, same-sex marriage, is constitutional, then what we need to do is we need to get together and persuade our fellow citizens that we want same-sex marriage, and then we can put it in the Constitution through an amendment process. That's what the amendment process is for. It's quite interesting to me that Judge Walker can say that Prop 8 violates the 14th Amendment, when clearly nobody in 1868, when the 14th Amendment was passed, thought that this amendment would be used to redefine marriage in the sense that same-sex couples could be married. That was never the case in 1868. You say, well, we have an evolving constitution now. Well, if we have an evolving constitution now, why have a constitution at all? If we can make the constitution say whatever we want to without officially amending it, why have a constitution at all? Let's just have judges tell us what our laws will be. Well, that's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's tyranny. That's being ruled by an oligarchy, by a few who are not elected. The reason we have an amendment process is for this very reason. If we want to change the Constitution, then let's go through the constitutional amendment process. But let's not have some judge out there in California decide what the law is going to be for the other 300 million people in this country.
Well, with only about 30 seconds, do you think it really matters to Judge Walker whether or not those who drafted the 14th Amendment in 1868 envisioned him applying it the way he has?
It should. If not, as I say, then we no longer govern ourselves. Judge Walker governs us. That's tyranny. That's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Dr. Frank Turek is our guest. He's founder and president of CrossExamine.org, author of the books Correct, Not Politically Correct, and Legislating Morality. He's also written a recent column for townhall.com titled Top 10 Gay Marriage False Facts. You can read these columns at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, more with him responding to Leonard Pitts Jr. and Judge Von Walker, the recent decision to overturn the will of the California electorate on same-sex marriage. Of course, it's not stopping there. It's going up to the next level of the courts, inevitably to the Supreme Court. We'll see whether the Supreme Court even wants to hear it. Some say that they simply have to. The public pressure will be too great. But whether it's the Supreme Court or a lower court, as Frank has already said, we really don't want the courts deciding what the Constitution means. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, August 17th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your comments there. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Consequences of China's one-child policy.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Enforcing China's one-child policy includes untold numbers of abortions and sterilizations. One unintended consequence is a demographic crisis. Apparently, Chinese parents have a strong preference for boys. So, in what some have called gendercide, unborn baby girls are much more likely to be aborted. Most parents want their only child to be a son, who will take care of them following Chinese tradition. Of course, the long-term fallout from such practice means that males severely outnumber females in Chinese society. Bad news for future generations. As one Chinese physician put it, China is committing suicide.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.com. www.thinkingchristian.org.
We're extremely disappointed that same-sex couples will again have to wait to be able to marry the person they love. I mean, I hope everyone could think how disappointing and upsetting it would be if a judge told you that you had to wait months, if not years, to get married.
That's Equality California Executive Director Jeff Kors stating that gay marriage supporters in California have been dealt a blow by the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. We're talking about arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. Dr. Frank Turek is our guest. Frank, you said before that kind of the big false fact in the thinking of Judge Walker is that sexual orientation is kind of an indelible part of someone's being and character. Why is that so important that we debunk that?
Well, for the same reason that if someone were to say that their sexual orientation requires the government to give them a special marriage right, then everybody that has any particular sexual orientation, not just for the same sex, but for multiple folks on the opposite sex, for multiple partners, for people in their own family, for children, for beasts. I mean, you can go on and on and on. In other words, the logic that's used by Judge Walker and the same-sex rights, same-sex marriage rights groups is that we have this characteristic, and because we have this characteristic, you have to change your marriage laws to accommodate us. Well, anybody with any sexual desire could say that, and you can see where that leads. Now, if you want to argue for same-sex marriage, you need other arguments. You can't use that one because it proves too much. Now, a lot of people, Todd, may say, well, why should we even be concerned about this issue? And I think one of the reasons we need to be concerned about it is I think it is very, very unloving to endorse behavior that leads to very tragic outcomes. I had a friend of mine who got involved in homosexuality as a young man. We buried him at the age of 36, dead from AIDS. And the studies show that homosexuals live much shorter lives and also have a lot more health trouble. And for a society to endorse such a relationship through marriage or even civil unions is a society that says we are overlooking all that and we want to encourage you to get involved in these relationships. I think that is unloving. I think that is false compassion. I think what we need to say is, look, this is a destructive behavior. You need to do everything you can to avoid it.
Robert in St. Louis leaves a comment via Facebook saying, Leonard Pitts, most assuredly is aware that a number of conservatives have backtracked on calling Judge Walker gay. It was reported early that he was an openly gay judge. Pitts avoids the real substantive and negative consequences of what same-sex marriage, if adopted universally, will mean in our society. He also avoids the empirical evidence showing an extraordinarily high rate of male-male infidelity in short-term female-female relationships. Those are among the numerous substantive points against same-sex marriage conservatives are trying to make. Pitts should throw his red herring back in the water. Your thoughts?
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with Pitts on this. Just because an individual has a certain sexual orientation in the sense that if Judge Walker decides that he is going to have a relationship with a man, I don't think that necessarily disqualifies him from being a judge on this case. However, if because of that orientation he has and his decision to go and have a relationship with a man, if that influences his judgment on this case, which it probably does, then he should have recused himself. But I'm really not all that interested, Todd, in getting into his motivations. What I'm interested in doing is examining his logic, and his logic is extremely poor, and that's why I wrote those two columns at townhall.com that go through the 10 false facts that he puts forth. And I think it's important that we show that not only is his decision a decision that is unconstitutional, but it will also retard religious freedoms. And if we have a minute, can we talk about that now?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
One of the facts that Judge Walker says is he basically says that Proposition 8 will not affect the First Amendment rights of those opposed to same-sex marriage. And I write in the column that it's too bad Judge Walker didn't look for evidence from Massachusetts for this false fact. If he had, he would have seen that court-imposed same-sex marriage has severely affected First Amendment rights. In fact, right now, Todd, parents in Massachusetts, you know, that was the first state to be ordered to impose same-sex marriage by a judge or by their Supreme Court. Parents now in Massachusetts have no right to know when their children are being taught homosexuality in grades as low as kindergarten. Neither can they opt their kids out, regardless of any religious or moral objection they have to this. In fact, one parent was even jailed overnight for protesting this. Also, businesses in Massachusetts are now forced to give benefits to same-sex couples, regardless of any moral or religious objections that the business owner may have. The government, Todd, believe it or not, ordered Catholic Charities to give children to homosexuals wanting to adopt. As a result, Catholic Charities closed their adoption agency rather than submit to this immoral order. Unfortunately, of course, children are the victims of the morality that comes with same-sex marriage. And we are the victims, too, because we lose our religious freedoms. We're either going to have freedom of conscience in this country, or we're going to have judges telling us that despite our religious or moral objections, we have to bow to the same-sex marriage morality.
I'd like your response to something else that Judge Walker had to say. He said in his finding of fact, same-sex couples are identical to opposite-sex couples in the characteristics relevant to the ability to form successful marital unions. Sounds pretty innocuous.
Yeah, I deal with that in one of the false facts. That's one of his false facts. He goes on to say that successful marital unions, and my question is, what does successful mean? It has nothing to do with children, according to Judge Walker. You know, he's got a stork brings children universe. He thinks marriage is merely about coupling and procreation is just incidental to it. And the problem with that, Todd, is that if you elevate same-sex relationships to heterosexual relationships, what you are saying to society through the law, and the law is a great teacher, what you're teaching society is that marriage is just about coupling. It has nothing to do with children. You say, so what? Well, so what is this? People continue to have children, but they don't get married to have children. And that means kids are born out of wedlock. And people who are not married break up at much higher rates than people who are married, which means we have more illegitimacy, more crime, more welfare, more higher taxes. So you can see all these rows of dominoes fall. The people that suffer from same-sex marriage, and by the way, the same thing is true with liberalized divorce laws, the people that suffer from it are ultimately society and the children. So this is not an innocuous comment for him to say. He thinks marriage is just about coupling. That's the problem with same-sex marriage. It sends the message that marriage is just about coupling. It's not. It's also about children and the future of society. If there is not an institution about children, if marriage is not an institution about children, tell me, what institution is about children? It's not marriage.
Daniel in Iowa City says this, and he quoting Leonard Pitts Jr., and it's the rest of us who have no right to judge, Daniel comments, we as Americans have the right to judge, and that's why we are a democracy. Perhaps it's been a while since Mr. Pitts voted. Prop 8 was judged by the voters, and gay marriage was banned according to the laws of this land, and it took a judge to thwart the will of the voters away. The notion that this is about one group preventing another from having freedom is ridiculous. Free voters voted no to Prop 8, and it's as simple as that.
True, and of course it's self-defeating to say you don't have a right to judge, because that's a judgment in itself. Anyone who says you ought not judge, you just look back at them and you say, then why are you judging me for judging? Pitts is making a judgment. The judge made a judgment. The people of California made a judgment on both sides of the issue. And they decided that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Now, some will say, well, what about blacks? I mean, this is analogous to race. It is not analogous to race at all. You will find many former homosexuals. You'll never find a former African-American. You see, gender is essential to marriage. Race is irrelevant to marriage. Gender is essential to having children. Race is irrelevant to having children. So to compare this to race is a complete non-starter. Even Colin Powell recognized this. He said this a number of years ago. He said, skin color is a benign, non-behavioral characteristic. Sexual orientation is perhaps the most profound of human behavioral characteristics. Comparison of the two is a convenient but invalid argument. And he's exactly right.
Judge Walker also said that the gender of a child's parent is not a factor in the child's adjustment. Is he right?
Of course. Come on, Todd. This is so funny. In fact, I answered in the column this way. That was another false fact he put forth. I said, even Rodney Dangerfield could expose this fact. Rodney Dangerfield used to say, no respect at all. When I was a baby, I was breastfed by my father. I mean, if men and women, if gender is irrelevant to marriage, let me make 2 points in addition to Rodney's point. If men and women are indifferent or gender is irrelevant to marriage, the first point I'd like to make is just to ask you a question. Was your father different than your mother as a parent, Todd?
Most certainly.
Most certainly. Of course. Everybody out there knows this. You don't need a study to tell you that mothers and fathers are different as parents and they bring different aspects of parenting to the child. There's no question about that. You don't need a study. The second point I'd ask to Judge Walker, who says gender is irrelevant to marriage. If gender is irrelevant to marriage, if it's really irrelevant to marriage, as Judge Walker maintains, if men and women are interchangeable, then why argue for same-sex marriage at all? Why not just tell homosexuals that gender is irrelevant to marriage? So instead of making a fuss and trying to change the law, why not just go ahead and marry someone from the opposite sex? See, the very reason they're arguing for same-sex marriage is because they know gender is important. So for him to say that gender is irrelevant to marriage, my response would be then just marry somebody of the opposite sex and be done with it. But no, they won't. You know what they do say, Todd, and I'm talking about they, the folks who are really for same-sex marriage, if you read the literature on this.
With about 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Well, I won't go into the details then, but you can read our book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone, where we go into the details and show that they think that gender is irrelevant to parenting, but it's certainly relevant to sex.
All right, when we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamine.org, author of the books Correct, Not Politically Correct, and Legislating Morality. We're talking about arguments in favor of same-sex marriage.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
We're hoping on Wednesday evening or Thursday morning being able to get in line and get a marriage license. It's disappointing, but it doesn't change our hope that someday we're going to be able to get a marriage license.
That's Thea Lavin. She's a supporter of same-sex marriage. She feels like the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals' hold on Judge Von Walker's ruling to legalize same-sex marriage in California is just another bump in the road. Dr. Frank Turk is our guest. 10 more minutes with him on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 17th, responding to arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. Susan in Naperville, Illinois, via Facebook says this: "It seems pretty fair," that is Pitt's column, Leonard Pitts Jr.'s column, "until he claims that gay marriage is about freedom and equality. Then he shows the same mulish unwillingness to understand the opposing viewpoint that all the gay marriage proponents seem to possess. Why do these supposedly open-minded people refuse to see that it's not about hate or bigotry?" What are your thoughts there, Frank?
Well, again, Todd, I can't emphasize enough. If somebody says that we just want the freedom to marry, then why can't someone who wants to marry two people say the same thing? Or someone that wants to marry a child or their parents or multiple partners or beasts or whatever? Why can't they use the same argument? Stop using the argument that we were born a certain way and therefore we are a special kind of people and we need special rights. Look, we're all born with an orientation toward bad behavior. And what we can't do is say that I have this desire to engage in such and such a behavior, and because I have this desire, now society needs to recognize that by some other form of marriage. In fact, all of us struggle with desires that we ought not act on. In fact, we have a word that describes the principled restraint of destructive desires. It's called civilization. And we need to restrain ourselves. Certainly, in fact, I had a conversation once on my radio program on this where a homosexual gentleman called in and we were talking back and forth and he was trying to use, well, I was born this way, so I have to do it. I said, wait. Because even if you are born with a certain desire, does that mean that you have to act on that desire? I mean, if I'm born with anger, does that mean gay bashing is okay for me? I asked him, I said, would you take the excuse from me if I was bashing you? Would you take the excuse from me if I said, look, I was just born with the anti-gay gene. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to put up with this. Well, he would say, of course not. So being born a certain way does not mean that society has to recognize the behavior that flows from that desire. And, of course, there's really no way of knowing whether you're born with something or whether you got it sometime in life. Certainly when you're a young child, you don't know whether you were born with anything. In fact, I always ask people, how is the homosexual gene passed on? Because homosexuals don't reproduce. So if there is some sort of homosexual gene, you thought it would have been weeded out of the gene pool a long time ago. But even if you are born that way, that does not give you license to, A, engage in the behavior, nor does it give you the right to have society recognize that behavior by some other form of marriage, some other definition of marriage.
Russell writes this. He says, I really get tired of folks saying that Prop 8 banned gay marriage in California. It did no such thing. It simply forbid the state from recognizing homosexual unions as marriages. There are plenty of apostate churches that have no problem performing ceremonies and recognizing quote-unquote gay marriages. Prop 8 merely says that the state cannot recognize these as marriages. Your thoughts?
Well, that's certainly true to a certain extent. And the interesting thing about this is that, Todd, in areas that have same-sex marriage, other countries and some of the states here in the United States, about 95%, I think it's 94, 96, or right around 95% of people who claim to be homosexual don't get married. You say, well, why are they fighting so hard for same-sex marriage? Because it has nothing to do with marriage for them. What it has to do with is social validation. In other words, if marriage is ever granted to same-sex couples, then same-sex relationships and homosexuality will be seen at the same level socially as heterosexuality. And that's really what they're after. They're after social validation. They're not after the ability to get married. I mean, Todd, think about this right now. And your listeners, think about this. Is there anything in our country right now stopping two people from committing themselves to one another till death do them part? Is there anybody stopping them?
No.
No. They can do so already. They don't need that piece of paper from City Hall to allow them to do that. You say, well, then why do they want to do it? The reason they want to do it is because they want the social validation that comes from same-sex marriage. And as I say in my column on this, I point out that the truth is that homosexual and heterosexual relationships are not the same. They can never be the same, and they will never yield the same benefits to individuals or society. No law can change that fact, only deceive people into thinking so. So we can't pass a law that magically transfers all the benefits of a male-female union to homosexual couples. If men can ever get pregnant, then maybe we'll rethink that. But until now, men and women were made for one another. Men and men and women when women were not. And we don't get anywhere as a society. We simply degrade our society by pretending that all these different relationships are equivalent to man-woman relationship.
LL in New York City writes this: the failure of most supporters of traditional marriage to make sound, thoughtful, non-scriptural arguments for marriage as an institution vital to the health of civil society is why people can say things like this, referencing Pitt's column, and many, including many Christians, conservatives, and libertarians, agree with them. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, Maggie Gallagher are excellent guests on the program because they understand that simply saying this is how we feel about marriage, or this is the way it's always been, or this is what we believe, won't cut it as arguments for public policy. The case for marriage under the law must be separated from the arguments with Christians who refuse to be bound by God's word. So, Frank, why is it so important that Christians are ready and able to make the secular case against same-sex marriage?
Well, that's why we wrote the book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. We don't use scripture in there. We're just using good common sense and natural law. And the reason we need to do this is a number of reasons. Number one, marriage is the foundation to society. When our marriages are strong, our country is strong. When our marriages are weak, our country is weak. And if we elevate same-sex relationships to heterosexual marriage relationships, we are going to basically blow the institution of marriage up so that children and ultimately society are hurt. Number two, we're not doing people who struggle with same-sex attractions any favor by encouraging them to get involved further in these relationships. And we do that by endorsing same-sex relationships through same-sex marriage or civil unions. We're not doing them any favors. That's false compassion. That's not real compassion. Real compassion says, this behavior is something that is destructive to you and others. Don't engage in it. We shouldn't endorse it as a society. The third reason that we have to make this case is because our very religious liberties are at stake. As I pointed out earlier in the program, your ability to worship, your ability to act as a business person, your ability to engage in society in many different aspects is going to be degraded based on same-sex marriage. Why? Because wherever same-sex marriage is put into place, religious rights are basically taken away from people as they have been taken away in Massachusetts. You can go to massresistance.org to read about this with regard to Massachusetts. There's an article up there that's titled something like What Gay Marriage Has Brought to Massachusetts. When you read that, you'll be shocked. You'll go, I can't believe all these things are happening in Massachusetts. Yes, look, we will either have religious freedom or we'll have same-sex marriage, but we will not have both, Todd.
Finally, with only 30 seconds, Frank, Judge Walker said that Proposition 8 failed to advance any rational basis for singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. You got 30 seconds to respond to that.
We are not singling out gay men. We are singling out gay behavior. Good laws do not discriminate against people. They discriminate against behavior. And the behavior of two men marrying or two women marrying is not equivalent to a man and a woman marrying. So we're not discriminating against people. We're discriminating against behavior, and all laws discriminate against behavior.
Dr. Frank Turek is founder and president of CrossExamine.org. He's author of the book Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. He's also written a recent column for townhall.com titled Top 10 Gay Marriage False Facts. By the way, you can purchase Correct, Not Politically Correct at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone by Frank Turek. Frank, thank you very much.
Todd, great to be with you. Thanks very much. And people, stand strong on this issue. It's important for everyone.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Lawrence White about the secularization of the church. Yes, it is happening. Then on Thursday, we'll discuss the dangers of hipster Christianity. Brett McCracken will be our guest. Well, it only stands to reason that an institution, marriage, that is at the foundation of human civilization, that is really the engine that creates culture and civilization, that if you redefine it, you will be redefining many, many things in your culture and your civilization. I think we could push it even farther. We could talk about marriage being not only the foundation of civilization and culture, but also of the system that we all enjoy, the system of laws that we enjoy, the system of authority, government that we enjoy. And if you tinker with the foundations of those things, then you will make many changes. If I came to your house and I told you I simply wanted to raise one end of your house, not too far, maybe just a foot off the ground, higher than it is, your whole house would tilt, wouldn't it? Your floors would not be level. The house would eventually begin to crack and collapse. So let's not tinker with marriage. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.